This is a replay of the Tuesday night, January 30th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. And boy, I can't tell you how much I mean that. They are just terrific. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and hopefully we'll have some fun. Maybe not with this first story, but you need to hear it anyway, because occasionally I read something and it's just so over the top horrible that I can't even believe it's true. And in this case, it's a woman in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. Otherwise a lovely place known as the home of Val Shively's R&B Records, yes, and the famous 69th Street, which in Philadelphia was notorious for Jerry Blavitt dances. But I digress. So we have a woman in Upper Darby who decides she's going to go online and she's going to do something that'll get her some subscribers. Oh, it did. Over 20,000. Now, you might say, well, Raleigh, 20,000 subscribers isn't a lot. Wait until you hear what she did. All right, so it was PETA that turned her in, so you can only imagine. This woman is a content creator. The content she creates... herself torturing and killing animals on YouTube. I am not making this up. Anagar Monsi, 28, of Upper Darby, arrested on 3 counts of cruelty to animals. I guess, according to local media reports, there's a lot more than 3. She's being held on $200,000 bond in Delaware County. She awaits a February 5th preliminary hearing. Apparently, PETA contacted the police after they were alerted to graphic videos on an account, Mother and Daughter, which, of course, is disquieting right there because it tells you not only is this woman beyond depraved, but she's got her kid in the act, that showed the animal mutilation and torture. And there was at least 4 videos still online when the writer, the Newsweek writer who reported this article saw, where live animals were harmed. Yes, she was scantily clad. Yeah, and I can only imagine who the 20,000 followers were. I'm more upset about that. She tortured rabbits, chickens, frogs, and pigeons in various ways, slowly scalding, disemboweling, mutilating, while they were all alive. Eventually, they were killed and cooked. And apparently, there were over 238 videos in total, and that was still active a couple nights ago. I think it's been removed, to say the least. And apparently a YouTube spokesman told Newsweek that content that is violent or abusive toward animals is not allowed on YouTube. We've terminated the channel in question. How long was it there before someone noticed? And unclear whether the woman is represented by counsel. Obviously, some public defender. Yeah, I know. Yeah, poor public defenders. For those of you out there doing that thankless job, I thank you. Is going to be assigned to her. And bottom line is, this is downright barbaric. It's inhumane that someone would do this. So because there were four videos that they could find, they charge her with four incidents, and she'll have to answer to all the four. Hopefully they'll be able to uncover the other 200 plus. And the police superintendent said exactly what I would have said. What is even more disturbing is the fact that you're soliciting and people are encouraging this. Like, oh good, that's a channel I'll sign up for. What? Yeah. You see, a lot of channels that, you know, there are not truly pornographic from the standpoint of people doing, quote unquote, the act or things of that nature, but are in terms of playing into various sick fantasies. Yeah. And this would be one of them. So there she is, scantily clad. There was one video, Cooking Lucky, apparently. She had a live chicken in a sink, and she repeatedly remarked on the number of views she was getting and the likes she was getting while soliciting more before she actually harmed the bird. For about 10 minutes, she forcefully handles the struggling and frantic animal and is seen plucking the feathers from its neck one by one before she starts chopping at the bird's throat with knives. I won't go further. The bottom line is the chicken didn't make it. I know, and better off for the chicken, but the problem is it took way too long. There was another one. Cook with Annie. Maybe Annie's the daughter. I don't know. I don't know who Annie is. Cooking Frogs and Fufu was the subtitle. I don't know what Fufu is, but she's shown with three live frogs before she begins to carve open one stomach while it is alive and removes the organs. And she could be heard saying, "Ooh, the frog is still alive. It's dancing." Then she did the same with the other two frogs who were also alive. In fact, for the third frog, to the tune of Happy Birthday, she's singing Happy Death Day. There was another from last year, Cooking Peter Rabbit, who admits she couldn't kill the live white rabbit herself, so she called a man whom she identified as her friend to do the deed. She heard saying, "I love you and Mommy's going to miss you," to the live and conscious rabbit before the man is slashing the animal's neck. The rabbit thrashes and jumps out of the sink, bleeding while it dies. Now, here's the thing. Thousands of views and comments. And many of the comments were not, "This is just the worst thing I've ever seen on video." I'll leave it there. 888-876-5593. You know, I usually say there's nothing that can surprise me. This did. Leah in Marcus Hook, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. This story was all over the news last week when it happened.
I'll bet it was in Philadelphia, sure, because Upper Darby, right next to Philly, right in the middle of the metro.
Right. Yeah, it was all over the news, and I'm on Facebook with a lot of animal groups, uh-huh. And the consensus is that animal abusers should have done to them whatever they do to the animals.
By the way, I agree with that, and there are judges who have come close to actually sentencing that way, and it wouldn't bother me in the least. But the problem is that even people who, for whatever reason, are so depraved that they're just immune to the horror of this, they need to realize that almost in every case, people who start with animals don't stop there.
Yeah, and well, that's true. They start there.
Yeah, especially if you have kids or no kids who are doing this, that is a warning flag that needs to be addressed immediately.
That's where they start. That's where Jeffrey Dahmer started.
Well, it's the case with virtually many, many people. So
many serial killers, where they start.
I think that that very often parents and friends are in denial when a kid is starting to abuse animals and they don't understand what this portends. And I think right. that beyond a shadow of a doubt, everything should stop cold and this should be addressed. Yeah. Now, apart from that, of course, just on a human to animal level, this is just so unconscionable. I can't imagine. Now, with the 20,000 subscribers, you know that people are doing this for their, we'll just leave it at enjoyment. What sicko is that?
Well, that's the part I don't get, is all the likes that she got. That's the part I really don't get, is how can people like this?
Well, no, you...
I mean, how are you watching this and liking it?
It's a fetish, and it exists. You know, in other countries, thank God, you don't really see it much in this country, but they make snuff movies. Now, you know about that, right?
Well, I know about people snuff movies.
That's right. That's right. Well, this is people snuff movies light. So there are people who this is their pleasure. I think they need treatment. But I just, you know, obviously, again, I'm not making an excuse for it. But you say
animals are just beyond me. I just can't.
Even if they weren't defensive, the treating of any living creature like this for whatever reason is, you know, unforgivable. And
it just sickens me, literally.
What really sickens me on top of
my stomach every time I think of it.
Yep. On top of how did she get 20,000 followers is the account implied she has a daughter involved in this. That child needs to be put in therapy today.
And be taken away from her.
Well, that beside that, yeah. I don't believe for a moment that this woman is going to get out of here unscathed. I would hope. And of course, she's being held at Delaware County Prison. I would wonder how she's doing there, because I would think her fellow inmates don't like her very much.
Well, I would think not.
If they know.
If they know, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I would think not.
So
it's just beyond me how people can like this. It's just beyond me. But the consensus everywhere I go in every group I'm in on Facebook is that animal abusers should have done to them whatever they do to the animals.
Yeah, works for me. Absolutely
works for me, too. I have no problem with that. I have absolutely no problem with that.
Well, that's encouraging that the outcry is universal against her. I would be horrified if we started to see things online that were supporting her.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. No, I haven't heard anyone supporting her except for the likes she got. And that was surprising to me.
I'd be curious to know who these people are. And, you know, I'm normally not for the witch hunt of track people that way. But I think it might be interesting to know exactly who were these likes. So, well,
I hate to pigeonhole people, but I'm thinking it's mostly millennials.
Oh, I don't know that that's true. I mean, I'm cleaning up my language so good in this, so I'm pausing and pausing and pausing. But the bottom line is these type of fetishes have been around since the beginning of time.
Yeah, that's true,
too. You do understand that there for this type of an individual, there's an overt sexual thrill to it. So that's the bottom line to who those 20,000 are. Now, I realize some of them are just walking by and saying, oh, I can't believe this, but, liking it, interesting.
Subscribing to it is just out of hand.
I don't know. It is wrong. It is absolutely wrong. And
it's reprehensible. Yeah, on every level.
And I hope you'll keep us posted, because you are right by Upper Darby. You'll probably hear it before we do. I hope the judge, and of course in the initial hearing it won't be, finished or in any way concluded, but I hope that you'll keep us posted and that this judge is going to put this woman under the jail.
Yeah, I will keep you posted when we hear anything, but... to change the subject a little, I had a horrible thing happen to me.
What?
I went to sleep this month, at the beginning of the month, with hundreds of dollars in my account, and I woke up to an alert from my bank saying I had a low balance.
What happened?
Someone drained my account.
How? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I don't know. They got my PIN number. Some Vietnamese person.
Now, did they do it theoretically with an ATM machine? Did they do it online? How did they make the transaction? Hello? They've taken her phone, too. Oh, my God. All right, Leah, I guess you got to call me back. But that's horrifying. And it does happen. And, you know, I am absolutely not a fan of debit cards. I'm not a fan of ATM cards. I just wouldn't use them, period. I don't think that the protection you get is anywhere near what the federal protection is with credit cards. So I don't advise it, period. But it is a way of life for many people for a variety of reasons. And the bottom line is, yes, you can be victimized. And whether or not your bank is going to do anything to make you whole is absolutely up to them. No federal law requiring it. Yeah, that's, I hate to hear that story. Be careful. Yeah, and don't turn that number over to anybody if it's a debit or an ATM card for any reason. Yeah. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Marianne, the birthday girl in Chicago. We'll talk to her. We'll tell her who else is born on her birthday. We got Diane in Chicago and Andrew in Chicago and James on the South Side with 9,832 stories coming up on WGN Radio. That's his birthday girl herself, Jackie Ross, turned 78 today. And again, you can see her Saturday, February 3rd, this coming Saturday, 5 to 7, at Overflow Coffee at 1449 South Michigan. So, yeah, right in the heart of Record Row. You'll want to do that. That's from 5 to 7 p.m. And she will be there, and she'll also tell you about her new business, Buckin' Spaces. And curious what that is. If you go, let me know. I want to know. In the meantime, she's not the only birthday girl today. Several others, including, of course, Marianne in Chicago. So, Marianne, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. We're getting, like, spring-like weather. It's been, like, in the 40s.
Okay. So how are you spending the day?
Just running around doing errands, sitting out on the deck feeding my birds, you know.
Good. Good. And you wanted to know with whom you shared your birthday. And the list is huge. You'd be you'd probably be pleasantly surprised, assuming
my birthday isn't today. I don't know who told you that.
I thought you had wanted to know. I thought it was today. I thought you called last night and said
no,
it was
no,
today.
I that must have been somebody else. I share, okay, you're probably going to laugh. Hmm. I share a birthday the exact same day, month, and year as Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, well, somebody has to, but darn, that's interesting. Well, I wonder who it was then.
I don't know. I told John I wanted
to get in on
this animal abuse.
Wait a minute. It was Stephanie in Madison. I'm sorry. It was Stephanie in Madison.
Oh, that's right. I heard her last night saying my birthday's tomorrow.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. So I don't know why I thought it was you, but anyway, a happy upcoming birthday eventually. But yes, Stephanie in Madison will call and we'll tell her all who else is having a birthday, in addition to, of course, Jackie Ross. All right. So animals. Back to animals.
Yeah, going back to my days when I worked outside at the phone company, one of the guys that I was real good friends with told me after work, and he told me the house, and I knew exactly where it was. There's a big religious statue out in the front lawn. He said he went in there and was doing his work, and he noticed it was really strange in there. They had stuffed owls that they shouldn't have had, tortoise shells to certain kind of turtles that are not allowed here. And then there was an altar room. The floor was completely covered in blood. And while he was there, two people came in. They went in that room, and he slashed the throat of a chicken and threw the blood all over them. So I spent the night on the phone calling anybody I could. Animal welfare, the police, blah, 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 the health department. And they all said, if it's a religion, then we can't do nothing about it.
I know that was a problem in South Florida with Sanitaria or whatever it's called. Same kind of deal. But I would think, yes, there are probably, if you're actually killing living things, there probably is something that could be done about it.
Yeah, and then I live near woods, okay? And back in the 80s, my boss would be walking his dog through the woods and find the remnants of sacrifices out there.
Oh, God.
And he actually came out one time and his dogs were barking. And on the other side of the fence was this big chicken. So he went over and got it. And he figured it must have gotten away from a sacrifice.
Oh, God.
So he brought it into work the next day. And one of the guys that lived way out in the boonies took it home with him.
Good, good. And hopefully it had a long life.
And there was another time I was walking down the street with one of my girlfriends. And I hear this commotion. I look across the street. Here's this woman with this beautiful little cocker. And she had a leash on it that was made out of chain. And she balled that leash up and smacked the dog on the head.
Aww.
And I said, you smack that dog one more time, I'm going to come and smack you with that leash and take your dog.
You know, you do that today, they'd shoot you.
Well, this was the 70s. Yeah. But I made my point, and I'm with you. There's no reason. Even if it's a snake, if it's not bothering you, leave it alone.
I would hope. I would hope.
Oh, but on the other side of the spectrum, I share a birthday also with Mother Teresa.
That might be good or bad, depending on how you look at the body of work.
Well, yeah, but what do you think? I got Pee Wee Herman on one shoulder and Mother Teresa on the other.
See that?
I know you are, but what am I?
See that? You're diversified.
I even asked my mother when I found out that we were born at the same time, did you have twins and separate us at birth?
Yeah.
And she goes, no, why are you saying that?
Yeah.
And I said, because I share a birthday with Pee Wee Herman.
Well, that's all right. And you're willing to admit it. All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, when my friends all found out, they all started calling me Pee Wee. I'm under 5 feet tall. I got all kinds of Pee Wee stuff for my birthday, for Christmas. So, in a way, it's a good thing when somebody has collections like that because you always know what to buy them.
Well, the problem is, of course, the only way they know that you were born on Pee Wee Herman's birthday is if you told them.
Well, yeah, because I was proud of it because at that time, Pee Wee Herman was winning all these awards for his shows.
So, yeah, and I know what day this is. This is August 27th. I would not normally know that Pee Wee Herman was born on it, but I know that because Bob Price was born on it. He's no longer with us.
Oh, okay. See, now I share a birthday with somebody else.
I have completely blown the news, and John's about to commit felonies on me if I don't do something. So I will talk to you
soon. We don't want no abuse on the talk show host.
That's right. Okay, but I deserve it. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. I'm sorry, Brett. I'm sorry. It's time for WGN Radio News.
Thank you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, I know you'd think it was called This Will Take Us Up to News, but in 1965, that was Horst Jankowski, A Walk in the Black Forest. So why am I playing Horst Jankowski? This would have been his birthday. Yes, January 30th, 1936. So happy birthday to Horst. He doesn't appear on many lists at all. Thought it was Marianne, and it wasn't. It's Stephanie, and Stephanie has called. She's the birthday girl. So Stephanie, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you, Raleigh. Thank you, thank you. I've got blankies around me because that story just, oh, God. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to say, Leah, I am so sorry about what's happened to you. Oh, man. Yeah. I will be thinking of you in my thoughts and prayers. And same with Marianne. Mm-hmm. You know, whoa. Dealing with stuff with your eyes, I've been through a lot of that, and you know, you keep it together, but wow. But anyway, yeah, thank you. Lisa Dent, we share the same birthday. It's her birthday today, right. The WGN afternoon host.
Happy birthday, Lisa. You know, you also share a birthday with Saul Alinsky. I know you probably don't want to admit it, but you do.
Oh, yeah. Saul Alinsky. I don't agree with a lot of stuff, but
like all of
FDR.
It.
I know. Yeah. Oh, man. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, share a birthday with him. And years ago, I was telling my husband that, there used to be the Writer's Almanac, Garrison Keillor, and they mentioned birthdays of prominent people. And the 30th, everyone, it was the biggest donor. Somebody had committed suicide. Somebody had done this. I'm like, oh, man, you know. But
Boris Spassky, the Russian chess player. He was born in 1937 on this date, so... Trying to think of ones you wouldn't know. You know, I realize you're going to know FDR, but maybe you didn't know that Joe Terry of Danny and the Juniors was born in 1941 on this date.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Well, my husband is going, I decided again to stay home this year. Tomorrow he's taking off for Clear Lake, Iowa, for number 44. It started in 1979. And the Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, Big Bopper tribute.
Yes.
And there's it's kind of interesting lineup. The Saturday night lineup is really kind of strange. There's some acts like somebody from the Sex Pistols is playing with some of the musicians and somebody else. I wasn't terribly, I'm staying home and... you the expression you pay yourself first and taking it was a hard decision, but I'm glad I did it. But he's taken off tomorrow, and for me and both of us, a lot has changed. A lot of our we had friends that died. We have one friend that we traveled with for years and years and years, and he is now in memory care. He's the same age as my husband. I'm having a good day, and I love calling in and talking to you guys, you know, and connecting. I really do. And, it's my birthday.
Yeah, and so many, many people, truly. You know, I mentioned Jackie Ross, of course, but Mitch Murray, who wrote everything from Billy Don't Be a Hero to I'm Telling You Now.
Jackie Ross, that's her birthday today?
Yes.
I've heard the cut you played, and what a voice. Oh, and I saw the obit from Elena Shaw, too. It was in the New York Times. She was pretty cool. It's interesting how some people, they really, you know, create a lot of good music. I love 50s pop, and I was going through my CDs. I've been really cleaning out. But I came across a 2-CD set of Jill Corey. And she did some pretty cool stuff. But she did a lot of stuff. She's a good singer, but didn't really,
hit pop fame. And there's a lot of people like that who just great stuff, but just was never going to be, mass appeal.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, the interesting thing with her is she literally got, she sent him a tape of her singing, you know, just a cappella. There's a train in the background. But somehow, Mitch Miller came across the tape. You know, this is a story as how it goes. You know, you can take it for what it's worth. But she got flown to New York and got signed pretty much in one day. Quite a background. But, yeah. You know, yeah, she didn't really, really, really.
But you know, she did better than you'd think. You're right. It's not the kind of, and of course, these are pop standards. The pop standard era when she was big, and sadly, that sort of, for whatever reason, doesn't live on the same way. But she was born in Philly, and she started singing imitating Carmen Miranda. If you're ready for that. And then she was on, you know, radio there, and yes, the tape at to Mitch Miller, and you know, probably the train in the background is what did it. I don't know, but
who knows?
Right, flew her to New York and had her audition with Arthur Godfrey and all that kind of stuff. And it was interesting because she, I guess, had a choice between Arthur Godfrey and I think it was Dave Garraway at the time, and she said, "I'll go with Garraway." And
smart move.
So he took her name out of a phone book. Her name wasn't Jill Corey, obviously. It was Norma Speranza.
Yep.
And so
her dad was a coal miner. Her mom died when she was really little. You know.
And she was the youngest star at the Copa, and Frank Sinatra hit on her.
Yep. She had a few dates with him. He was like, I think he was like 42 or something. He was young, like a bit older. But
she went on to marry some guy with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
She did. Yeah. Don Hoke, who's a third baseman with the, and he died. They were married for like 8 years, and he suddenly dropped over a heart attack.
She just died a couple of years ago in Pittsburgh. You know,
not long
at all. So, not a household name, but for a moment there, you know, a lot of spreads on your Hit Parade and in Life magazine and stuff like that.
Absolutely. You know, the thing is with, Mitch Miller, you did pretty much what you were told. I was listening to some different music and I could tell you
horror stories till the cows come home about Mitch Miller.
Oh, God, yeah.
So we'll just leave it there. There's not a good story to tell, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, Rosemary Clooney did not want to record Come On in My House.
I know she didn't, but boy, that was one where he was right, but it was rare. I mean, yes, obviously Frank Sinatra didn't want to do the one about barking either, but but the big thing was, of course, Miller had said, you know, over my dead body will Columbia release a rock and roll album, and so that's why they had to fire him in 65.
Yeah. Oh, Raleigh, it is good to talk to you, and my best to everybody out there. And
you too, and have a happy remaining birthday.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. You take good care, okay?
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All of you.
Yeah.
You got it.
Betcha. And, you know, there would have been no Paola hearings if it weren't for Mitch Miller. Now, granted, the governor of Tennessee had a part in it, too, but for the most part, it was Mitch Miller continuing to call Congress as they were investigating the quiz show, saying, no, you have to investigate rock and roll. These disc jockeys are taking money. Nothing else explains why they would play that tripe, why they would play that horrible music if they weren't being paid. So they're being paid. Investigate them. I'm not making this up. All right, so if you're a radio fan, I know that you know about the Sea Crane Company. But in case you've missed it, or if you're just a casual radio fan but you're looking for a better radio, have I got news for you. Bob Crane years ago shared our disgust, those of us who loved radio and realized that radio reception was getting worse and worse by the new radio daily almost. Well, years ago he did something we didn't. He put his money where his mouth was and said, I can design something better. And boy, did he. Every radio that Bob Crane has designed, and that's a lot of them, have one thing in common. They all have the absolute best reception of anything on the market today, whether it's AM or FM. But not only that, there are so many different models from which to choose. And the new CC Skywave SSB2 is now out, and it is a terrific radio for its size. I mean, come on, it's 8 ounces and fits in the palm of your hand. You won't believe the reception and the sound as far as that goes, considering how small it is. The audio is sharp and clear, and you get free earbuds as well. And man, that sounds like $1 million. It's just a wonderful radio because it's not only AM, and FM and the weather band and a weather alert, but it also is single sideband and the aviation band. So if you are a traveler and you want to hear what our air traffic controllers are doing, you will with this radio. It's just terrific. And of course, single sideband radio, where a lot of hams are together, will give you information you won't hear anywhere else, and a lot of interesting conversation in general. Now, what's new about the SkyWave SSB2 is it's got a wonderful jack that you can connect a shortwave antenna, and you will increase the amount of shortwave stations you're going to pick up. So it's just great. You know, small in size, big in capability. Rotary volume dial and 400 presets and a clock, a timer, an alarm, and all sorts of goodies. Go to ccradio.com and read about the CC SkyWave SSB2, the CC SkyWave SSB2, and check that out. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, you can give them a call because they have the best customer service 24/7. You can buy it on the phone, but you also can ask for a catalog. They'll mail one right to you. Yeah, then you can kind of look at it to your heart's delight. But if you can go online, even better. By the way, the phone number, if you're going to call them, 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, oh man, the world is your oyster. You're going to love this. CCRadio.com. CCRadio.com. You look at the CC SkyWave SSB2 and everything else, you're going to find something that you're saying, I just got to have it. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. Oh, it's my turn. See, and here I am just sitting here. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Oh, I love this story, actually, because I tell you, sometimes you just got to take things into your own hands. It's going to cost you, though. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, somebody sure did on that flight over there in Mexico City.
Aeromexico, yeah. Going from Mexico City to Guadalajara. So an in-country little hop there. And they were supposed to take off at 8:30 in the morning. And, of course, 3 hours later, they're still sitting on the tarmac. And apparently, Aeromexico did nothing for these people. They didn't give them any food, any water, any drink, no nothing. So this guy, after 3 hours, just opened the door and climbed out on the wing for some fresh air. You know, I don't blame him a bit. There was no air conditioning. There was literally no system for oxygen on this plane.
Right.
And
I was trying to determine if it was a max because, you know, they're having all these problems, but I couldn't find that out in the story.
No, I don't think I don't think it was. No, I'm looking at the plane as we speak, and I'm pretty sure it isn't. I'll find out. I'll find out what it is, though. But it doesn't look like it. But that said, he had the full support of all the passengers, because again, these people had absolutely no system for air filtration on this. And after 3 hours, the people on the plane are saying, "Why are you detaining him?" You know, because apparently, he said, "I opened the emergency window for the protection of everyone." And he had the support of everyone. And I would agree in this case. And by the way, no harm caused by the incident. And Aeromexico says the aircraft had mechanical problems. The flight was to undergo an aircraft swap. All right. No, this is no reason. 3 hours without circulation? No, you have to circulate the air. And so apparently it finally left like 5 hours later for Guatemala City. And needless to say, they were unsatisfied and, in fact, up in arms because they said, "We saw a man arrested for saving our lives." So,
Well, he's almost like his bravery is almost like that lady in L.A. who clung to the car because they stole her car.
Right.
Which had her dog inside.
Right. Right. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So. But let's find out what kind of plane this was. It does not look like that. But let's see. Aeromexico AM672, I think, was that flight. So it sounds like a dial position in a 9 kilohertz country. Okay. Show me what you are. All right. I'm looking at it now, but you're not telling me what you are. So. Well, it must. Let's see. Normally on this, I get all the information, but they just decided not to tell me that. They're telling me it's an hour and 49 minutes. I don't care. What? Let's see. Come on, aircraft type. You can do it. Obviously, again, people who think that I talk on the radio and Google all my my conversation. No, I would all be say all I'd be saying is for a few hours because I'm bad at this. But let's see, what is it? Come on, show me. Oh, great, they're showing me the flight path. I'm thrilled. No, don't show me the flight path. The latitude, the longitude, the altitude, the ground. A Boeing. Oh, it's a 737B. Eight. It's a 737-8. All right. So it's a form of a 737, but not the MAX.
Okay.
All right. So it is Boeing. But I don't blame Boeing a bit for this. Lots of planes need maintenance and all that. And there was going to be a plane swap on this, I think, later that day. Well, so something went out while they were on the tarmac. Let the people have air.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad there wasn't anything worse, particularly up in the air. So.
Yeah. I don't know how to compare the difference. I'd have to look at it between the MAX and the 737-8. But I would say regardless, this ain't on Boeing.
Yeah. Well, I know they had, I guess the Boeing leader had to go before Congress and kind of explain himself.
Well, No, that again is a different issue. No, the door plugs don't get to fall off in flight. Unacceptable.
All the way around.
And you know, it's also a little disquieting. Well, we had a subcontractor in Tulsa. Yeah, well, let's talk to that guy. So yeah.
Oh, speaking of Oklahoma, so you probably heard about this. They're thinking about going. I'm sure this is in one of the James story. A very tall building will eventually overtake the World Trade Center as the tallest building in the U.S. in Oklahoma.
They're going to put it probably in Tulsa. I'll look for that. I'm going to find out what's going on in the news, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, Riley. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
okay.
Hopefully they'll have better luck than they did at ORU and the Praying Hands. I'll tell you about that sometime, too. We've got two more hours to spend together. We got James with his stories and Andrew with his animals. Likewise for Diane in Chicago. Hopefully you'll all hang on right here on WGN Radio.
Come home. Let me tell you how I've missed you so. I didn't want you to go, 'cause I love you so. Come on home, or you'll find you'll miss the love we shared. There's none will ever compare. Darling, please come home. Funny what a quarrel can do after so many thrills. It has wrecked in a moment what has taken us a lifetime to build. Darling, please come home. I'll be happy, dear, if you decide to give love another try. Won't you please?
And Radio, I'm Riley James. That's Bubber Johnson. Another Come Home. Yes, we had Cleveland Dennis wanting Come Home, which the Vestels, he said, was actually the record, but not by them. And I immediately thought of Bubber Johnson. I said, it ain't the same Come Home, but it's sure nice. And that was a 1957 album on, and a single too, actually, but on King. And there was another cut on that album, There Will Be No One, I think I'll play next, because I thought he was just tremendous. Anyway, it's the wrong Come Home, but I liked it. So, 888-876-5593. We have Robert, and Robert is in Stickney. So, okay, Robert.
Raleigh. How you doing, okay, today? You
can't complain. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm still a little shook up after your opening story, but I'm getting a little bit over it now.
By the way, I'm glad. I'd hate to think you thought it was just fine. So yes, we're all shook up.
Right. Yeah. I had a a question about, this is someone that you might have even known. This was a gentleman and a well-known radio announcer from way back, and he was said to have the mellowest voice. His name was Ken Nordine.
Word Jazz. Yeah, most people know him for Word Jazz, but the reality is he was a voiceover talent. He made a fortune in voiceovers. He did a lot of movie trailers and Magnavox and a bunch of other stuff as well. He was Chicago-based. And
okay.
Yeah, right in Chicago. And he began recording those Word Jazz albums, and it was funny because one critic said it was closer to Franz Kafka than it was the Beat Generation. So I thought that was a kind of funny.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he had a show on WBEZ like 40 years. So public radio in Chicago. Yeah, he was absolutely there. And then, you know, he became a cult favorite. Jerry Garcia from the Grateful Dead had him do stuff like in the 90s and all that.
Oh,
but,
wow.
He married an actress, Beryl something or other, and she lived, I think she died 3 years before him, so that would have been like 2015, 2016, and then he died like, I think, 2019 or so. And he was Linda Blair's vocal coach for The Exorcist.
Oh, wow.
And how do I know that? Because he filed a lawsuit. He said he wasn't properly compensated.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, but he did a lot of stuff. Yeah, so
yeah,
and you know, obviously he lived a long time. He was almost 100 years old when he died.
I was going to say he'd be pretty up in age now.
Yeah, because he was. I think he was born like 1920 or so thereabouts. And people, I would say maybe they don't think they know him, but if you'd hear his voice, even if you never heard the Word Jazz albums, you'll remember him from a television commercial or a movie trailer.
Oh, yeah, because he did some TV announcing, too. Well,
he did a lot of those spots, and some of them were national spots that had good residuals, so that's nice money.
Oh, sure, yeah. Could I put in a couple of requests before...
Let us find a piece of paper for me to write them down, and let's see. Okay, go, what do you want?
Broken Hearted Melody by Sarah Vaughan.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and there was a song. I mean, there was another lady. I only heard one hit by her years and years ago, decades ago. She was known as Baby Washington.
Oh yeah, no, Baby Washington. That's How Heartaches Are Made, and so much more.
That's the one. Oh yeah,
that's the one everybody likes. Of course, it's a big hit.
Yeah, I was going to ask if for that one too, sometime in the near future.
Yeah,
you know.
No, she did a number of things, but that's probably her most well known and
biggest.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to do. That's How Heartaches Are Made. Yeah, she was terrific. Yeah. She had A Heart Full of Memories, which was nice. Nice version of It'll Never Be Over for Me. I like that by Baby Washington. I Can't Wait Till I See My Baby's Face. So there's others, but of course, That's How Heartaches Are Made is the one most people thought of, so I figured that was what was on your mind.
Oh yeah. Oh right. She wasn't related to Dinah Washington.
No. Absolutely not. I know. Other people have thought that too, but absolutely absolutely not. Her name was Washington, though. Justine was her first name. Baby's name was Justine Washington. And she was from South Carolina and raised in Harlem, course. But she was on Zell Sanders' label, JNS. And in fact, the record that I say had 3,000 vocalists, and I swear to God it's true. It's anybody walking by the studio in a week period became part of the J-Nets with Sally Go Round the Roses. And she was one of them.
Yeah.
She was absolutely one of them. Yeah. I mean, though.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that haunting piano in Sally Go Round the Roses.
Yeah, absolutely. She was definitely in that. And as far as I know, she's absolutely still with us. She's in her early 80s.
Oh, yeah, by now, yeah.
Yeah, the first thing she charted with was 1959, The Time. But the one that most people remember is That's How Heartaches Are Made, which was 63.
Right, yeah, that's the one that I remember by her, you know.
Yeah, no, she was great. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll do it
okay,
to it.
Raleigh.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, everybody and their brother was a J-Net, and I've told that story before on that that particular song. But yeah, never know what makes a big hit, and that was clearly one of them. All right, so Diane in Chicago has been hanging on for half of her natural life, so welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Ronnie. I was calling on that terrible story about the...
Yes.
Pretty depressing to think of that, but you wonder about that person... if they, that person were sitting in front of you right now and what type of person they are in their life, like what they talk about or what they, what their tastes are, or, you know, what kind of human
well,
is that?
There's so many ways to think about this. I'd say if you had me to just use one word for her, I would say soulless. Has no soul whatsoever,
yeah.
Soulless. But the reality mm-hmm. is, remember, this is an influencer, you know, someone on YouTube doing that stuff.
Right,
so part of this is, it could be, I mean, the best spin on it, I guess, is that she was just looking for a way to notoriety. The worst spin was, this is her, you know, hobby, she loves it. But either way, it's despicable.
No, it tells all about her. It's
well,
not even
it...
anything about making, you know, like you said, even notoriety or anything.
Well, yeah, but you see, that could be about her. She might be willing to do anything for that. She may be willing to sell her soul for 20,000 followers.
Yeah, soulless is the word.
Yeah,
but
that's
the animal cruelty thing is, like you say, a special category.
Yes, it is.
Of somehow, here's what I was telling John, when I called in, what I was going to talk about in connection with that, like here in Chicago, there was a Feinberg School of Medicine,
yes.
And they had protesters there, I think, a few years ago, and it was about cats,
yes,
and how they use cats. Mm-hmm. And then if you look on some of these scholarly papers on the internet, and, you know, when they get very, you know, when they submit papers, these scientists and whatever researchers, when they did dental research, they would mm-hmm. take teeth out of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
To see how they would be with, you know, and when they're testing for implants and everything, and they take the dog's teeth all out, you know?
Yes, I do
I
know.
I mean, this is, and these are supposedly not
scholarly
so
people.
People.
I know.
But have a type of soullessness, because who could do this, you know?
Oh, many people can. Medical research is a horror. And it's not only medical
right.
research. I mean, the things that were done to animals for research in makeup, for instance, so many products have been... Yeah, you can
right,
go on and on
with that. And everything.
Exactly.
And fur, yeah.
Right. Oh, of course. I find this unacceptable on every level. The only time medically it makes sense to me is when you've got a situation going on where literally you're having people dying like flies and you've got to come up with an answer here. You're not going to test it on a human. So, you know, depending on the circumstance,
right, yeah.
I know you're going to have to test it on an animal because you're
hopefully, not... Hopefully, when they test it on the animal, that it doesn't kill the animal
or
maybe it's something redeemable.
Or
like they don't,
the other
like
way around. The other way around, hopefully after testing it, they can quickly euthanize the animal rather than leave it in distress.
Well, that too, you're right, no torture involved.
Yeah, right, precisely. But I mean, so there are times that I say, you know, for the greater good, much as I hate that phrase, I guess I get it. But, you know, to test it because you want to know if somebody came up with a better eyeshadow, no.
No. The rationale is that, like you said, I think, when it comes
right.
to anybody trying to cut off their conscience if they're in that profession, but you wonder how they live in their, you know, what dreams they have at night or anything, nightmares.
Can
I ask you this, then switching the subject, I was going to ask you again. I asked you before about that train radio. You know, the old radio, like a General Electric, where you had the cord and you could roll up the cord and then you use it as, they used to be called like a beach radio, right? What is a radio anymore where you can buy? Can you buy that sea crane at a store?
Well,
because I don't buy things online. I don't have a computer.
Well, you can call them and have them send you the catalog. And then you don't have to go online.
Okay.
They'll send you a copy of the catalog. And that's the best thing. And like I say, the number is 800-522-2.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to write it down. Okay,
800-522-8863. 63.
But if they send a catalog, they'll show me where I can purchase it.
Yeah, oh yeah, you can call them and purchase
there
it.
There are some stores.
Well, I don't know that there are, because most of the stuff I wouldn't buy a radio anymore in a store, but you can buy it directly from them. You can call them back.
Yeah, I suppose I could.
Yeah, they'll do
sacrifice
the whole,
right. Using my credit card for a purchase. I don't usually do it like that, you
right.
know.
Well, pay it off at the,
except in person.
Well, pay it off at the end of the month. That's no problem. But take a look
but it,
first.
But it's, as long as it's a secure thing,
yeah,
even
I'm,
online, it could be if it's a secure site.
Yeah, it is secure, but you don't have to do it online. You can call them. Like I say, they'll do the whole thing over the phone.
Right.
But get the
well, that too, yeah. I hate to give my number over the you know credit
well,
card, but,
as
but
lo-
I'll,
as,
see, I'll feel it out. I'll check it out. I wouldn't mind getting. So you're saying these are this is like a regular radio?
They have many kinds. Yes, absolutely. You know, like if you're talking about you want to plug it in the wall, well, they got those. You want it just on batteries?
They have
well,
that.
They got
okay.
those. You know,
right.
I mean, you name it. You want to fit it in the palm of your hand? They got those. You'll look at several of them. But before you do anything else, take a look at all of them. And then the other thing when you're when you're ordering either online or by phone or whatever, remember if you use a credit card, not a debit card and not an ATM, but if you use a credit card, if you're the victim of theft, you don't pay for it.
Well, that's true.
So always keep that in mind.
I've heard that. Uh-huh.
No, it's absolutely true because I, you know, we make literally hundreds of online purchases every month. Hundreds.
And people do, yeah.
You know, I I'll tell you, I don't worry at all. Now, I would if it was a debit card, but with a credit card, no, not at all.
Well, yeah. I have a debit card.
Don't
also.
Use it. Don't
use it
no.
in person.
Well, if you want to, I wouldn't use it ever. I don't.
What's the hazard of that?
It's not. It doesn't give you the protection. If there's a fraud situation, it's up to the bank of whether they want to make it whole or not. They don't have to. There's no law that says they have to give you your money back. So if you lose everything, you may be out everything. But with
right, I don't use it as much.
Well,
I use it at some time, a grocery store and
yeah,
things.
I understand.
I keep track pretty
but if,
much. Yeah.
If someone were to get the number and to drain your account, that could happen. And so what I'm saying, with a credit card, you're protected. With a debit card, you are
right,
not.
Right, I've heard that.
And
yeah.
you are
I'm,
not.
I'm careful, though.
Well,
I was going to ask you, what do you think of Bose? Because I have this Bose that I got secondhand, and yet I can't get FM all the way on the sound isn't...
Right.
I think it's...
The tuning
it's an old
on,
model.
Right, the tuning on them isn't as good as I'd like. Some people love the sound, some people don't. I've had a number of Bose things over the years, but I'll tell you, when it comes to just a radio where I'm wanting to pick up as many stations as I can get, I go for something from the C. Crane catalog.
Right, I've heard you talk
yeah,
so much
so
about
just
it,
get,
so
get,
I've been procrastinating.
No, just
but
get
I
the,
will call that.
Yeah.
I will call that number.
Give it a call and just tell
and
them
get
you
a
want.
Catalog.
Yeah, tell them, sell them. Raleigh said you'll mail me a catalog. And they will.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. Let me know what you think. Thanks.
Appreciate
okay.
Thank you, Ron.
All right. Good deal.
Bye-bye.
So 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Annie in Fairless Hills. And Dave in LaSalle has requests. And Andrew in Chicago are going to talk about animals. And, of course, James on the South Side. We are getting to his stories tonight. All that and more right here on WGN Radio.
You're breaking every rule of this love we shared. I never thought you could be so unfair. You said beneath the stars I'd share your heart. Now tell me, darling, why we're miles apart. I sit here reminiscing, and it makes me blue. If I could only hear you say once more, darling, I love you. The sun will never shine my whole life through until you say you're mine. There'll be no one but you.
WGN Radio. I'm Robin James, and there he is, Bubba Johnson. This guy was so underrated and so good. And, you know, I looked once. He don't even have, like, a Wikipedia entry, but he was just wonderful. And, you know, when you try to find things about him, news clippings and stuff like that, you'll every now and then get a little blurb about, like there was one in 1950 in Dayton that said, Bubber Johnson is a riot of fun with his clever trio playing currently at the Lamplighter. And the clever trio, who's in the trio? I don't know, as far as that goes. Nothing I could find ever mentioned anybody in the trio. But, of course, by 1955, he was on King, and he did the song I played before, Come Home. But the flip side was There'll Be No One, which I thought was just a wonderful, wonderful record. And he was an actor as well. In fact, he was in a couple of movies and stuff, but, you know, bit role type things. But nonetheless, that was pretty much it. Red Ball Express was one of the movies. And John said, shut up again. All right, I will. We'll pick up right after the news right here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Jerk and Twine, 1965. Of course, it's more Jackie Ross. So good. Now, what's really weird is that came out in 65, and Jerk and Twine was on one side, and the other side was New Lover. We played New Lover before, and as you know, exactly the same as Selfish One. Well, the interesting thing is the flip side of Selfish One was Everything But Love, and Jerk and Twine was exactly the same as that. I'm pretty sure that instrumentally they use the same tracks. I'll have you you kind of decide it here, because it sure sounds like it to me. They're both good, but, you know, that's just a great song. I could read a grocery list over that, and I'd be happy. So anyway, again, Jackie Ross, this weekend, you probably don't want to miss that. And let me get that from 5 to 7, and she will be, where is this again? I had this here somewhere. At the Overflow Coffee House at 1449 South Michigan. It's a little hard to read the notes when there's a Coca-Cola over all of them, but it's a long story. The break was not a successful one for me. All right, so with that in mind, Annie is in Palos Hills. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, I love your show. You're welcome. I called here once about a year ago, I believe, and we were talking about sleep, because you said you don't go to bed till really late and you sleep till noon.
Oh, I sleep later than the crack of noon. I'd love to be up at the crack of noon, but it's usually closer to 2.
Yeah. Well, I thought I heard one night on the radio you said that it's a physical thing, because
yeah, it is.
I'm a senior and all my friends get up at 6 o'clock and they think I should, and I feel like I don't feel good at 6 in the morning.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, everybody's got their own body clock. Now, in my case, unfortunately, and I share this with a lot of blind people, I have what they used to call N24 that they call non-24 now. My body clock really would like a 30-hour day. And of course, in a 24-hour world, you don't have that luxury. But even apart from that dichotomy, everybody is either a little bit owl or a little bit lark, meaning that if you stay up late at night and you get up late in the day, you're probably more of an owl. You're probably on a 25-hour body clock instead of a 24. Now, on the other hand, if you're lark, if you're up every morning by 5 a.m., because boy, and you're asleep every night at 8 at night, you're a lark. And so, yes, a lot of seniors become larks in their body clock. But if you haven't, don't do it.
Okay.
You know,
people are always saying, you should be up at 6 o'clock.
Why?
And then they're out in the morning, like at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, playing bingo, and I can't see getting up. I live in the Chicago suburbs that are so cold, and I can't see getting up to run out to play bingo for an hour.
Let me ask you, if you had no clock in your house and the blinds were drawn, what do you think your sleeping schedule would be just left on your own?
You know, I never thought of that. I should try that.
You know, without anybody pressuring you, what time do you like to go to bed at night in general?
I go to bed after I listen to you. I love your show, about 1-ish.
All right. So if you're talking 1 o'clock, an 8-hour sleep, that's assuming you fell asleep right away, an 8-hour sleep would take you to 9 a.m., not 6 a.m., but, you know,
right.
It probably takes you a little while to get to sleep, does for all of us. So I would say if you're, you know, turning out the lights at 1 o'clock, I would strive to be up at 10.
Okay. You know, when I have different nights, I have post-traumatic stress disorder. So every night it's different for me. Some nights I can go to sleep right away.
Right.
And some nights I'm rolling around at 3 a.m. So it's like,
that's very,
it's so different for me.
It's very normal. And the other thing, of course, is sadly, the middle of the night enlarges things. And when you start to get on that feedback loop and you start to think about things, it can be bigger and bigger and bigger in your mind, and you're going to sleep later and later. This is very normal. But give yourself a break. You don't need to be on someone else's schedule. Be on your own schedule. And if some nights you're just not getting any sleep, just say, okay, I'm not getting any sleep. If you sleep in the day, that's great. Otherwise, you'll go to sleep the next night. It shouldn't matter.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
No, absolutely not. And anybody who's telling you how to live, well, I'd tell them where to go.
I should tell them where to go.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's on kind of my age, because I'm a senior, and they're seniors, you know, and they're all up at 6 or 7 and out the door. And
well, God knows I'm a senior, you know. There's no getting around that. And I'm lucky when I get up at 2. You know, John congratulates me when it's 2. Some days it's actually been 4. The thing that I hate, I really do hate this, is to get up so damn late it's dark again. But, you know, so I try not for that. But other than that, you know, if it's noon, if it's 1, if it's 2, if it's 4, that's all fine.
Yeah, that's true. But then, you know, because I'm a widow, I feel like I don't have any company, and I look for the other ladies for some company, but they're up and gone when I don't want to be up and gone.
Well, do they eat dinner?
Yeah.
Then get together for dinner dates.
Yeah, if I could do that. Some of them, I don't know, people are, everybody has their own life and their own thing, and
yeah.
It seems like they're not friendly like they used to be.
Well, you need a new set of friends. Now, the other thing is, depending on where you live and how mobile you are, you could volunteer somewhere and get to meet people that way.
Yeah, I think I will do that.
Because there's so many different things, whether it's an animal shelter or if it's a senior center or whatever. There's people begging for volunteers.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I should do that. And they say you get back more than what you give.
Right, and you get to meet new people.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good idea.
Yeah, but sleep when you want. Don't let anybody else tell you when to sleep. Sleep whenever you want.
Yeah, that's true. When you always say sleep is sacred, it is. I think it is too.
Oh, it is. It is. And, you know, the older we get, you know, I hate the nights when I got up 8 times to go to the bathroom. It's like, wait a minute, not every hour,
yeah. You
know, and then you hope you're going back to sleep quickly. And that's where your PTSD can kick in. Like you get up to go to the bathroom,
right.
And then you go to, but you can't go to sleep because you just thought about this. And this made you think about
it's
that.
True.
And that made you think about the other thing. And then back in 1962, this happened. Yeah.
That's true,
yeah.
Raleigh.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I want to ask you one more thing before we hang up.
Yeah.
Do you think sugar is really so bad? It seems like that's all I hear is that sugar kills you.
It's better than the alternatives. What I don't like is high fructose corn syrup. And unfortunately, so many products today use high fructose corn syrup instead of sugar because A, it's cheaper, and B, like in a soft drink, it mixes better. It's easier to handle. I'd stay away from the high fructose corn syrup. I'd stay away from things on a label that you can't pronounce. But as far as actual sucrose, you know, in moderation, do you have a blood sugar problem?
No.
Then don't worry about it. If your A1C is under 5.6, I wouldn't worry about it. But I would try to stay away from all of these synthetic blends, you know.
Yeah, and everything I pick up in the store, though, I can't. There's always something on the label I don't like.
Well, that's right. And sometimes with genetic modifications, you don't know because they've got a barcode on it, and you actually have to go read the barcode and see it online. They hide it well. But, you know, as far as that goes, the fewer things you can eat that are canned or, you know, packaged or frozen, the better off you are. You know, shopping the outer aisles of the shopping center, the fruits and the vegetables and the fresh things, you're always better off. And when it comes to meats and stuff, if you've got the budget and can go organic, that always helps.
Oh, it does.
Well, it does only because they're prohibited from using a lot of the additives.
Oh, okay. But you got me on the Mexican Coke with the real sugar.
I know.
I love it.
Well, and that's right, and it is real sugar, and I swear by it. And, you know, John and I laugh because he has to watch sugar, and it is the absolute only blood test that comes back good for me. Everything else, it looks like I'll be dead by Thursday, but sugar looks great. So I figure, hey, I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah, you can't worry about everything either.
No, exactly. I mean, we're all going to die. The only thing I don't want to do is linger.
Me too. You're right about that.
Yeah, no, exactly. No one's ever said, dear Lord, let me linger. So, you know, I want to do enough to try and keep the crusty old body functioning enough that I don't have huge problems and just go from there. But, you know, life is too short. Don't listen to your friends and don't worry what the news is telling you.
Yeah, that's true. So. Okay, Raleigh, I love your show.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Do it again.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, thanks.
And I listen to you every night that I can.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Raleigh.
Good deal.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. So, but sleep, if you can sleep, by all means, sleep. But yes, that getting up to go to the bathroom, coming back, and then it hits you. And it might be something, like I say, that's 37 years old. And then he, you know, exactly. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, Dave has requests in LaSalle. So, hey, Dave, how you doing?
Hi, Raleigh. I like your show as usual. And, you know, I like the fact that you're on late.
Yes.
We are in the morning. And, you know, heck, I probably call you that late sometimes. But I just want to mention, I have a couple older songs here to play.
Yeah.
I was born in 1942. So these songs I give you were from my grade school days.
We're talking 50s. That's fine. What you got?
Okay, Sincerely by the McGuire Sisters.
You don't want the original?
No, well, here's why I mentioned that. Well, who do you got for the original?
Well, the original is the Moon Glows. The McGuire Sisters were the white cover of it.
Go ahead, play it by the Moon Glows.
The Moon Glows are the hit. And actually, as far as modern versions of it from the early 80s, Richard Dimple Fields did a wonderful job. But the Moon Glows are the original recorders of Sincerely.
That's been done by a lot, you know. But I do like the Moon Glows, and it'd be fine here.
Okay. What else?
What year would that be?
Oh, gosh. Moon Glows probably be 55. 55.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Okay.
I have to look it up. But
the other one is a big band song. It's called Tuxedo Junction.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You like the Glenn Miller version? Everybody did that.
I do. And I just mentioned these for a minute because I heard these songs on the kitchen radio or on my aunt's had 78 RPM records, and they just bring back you know, those longer ago times, you know. So, and when you play them, I'll hear them on the radio again, like I did then. So, I appreciate you playing them, Raleigh. You have a, and you have a good one tonight.
Well, you too. I just looked up Sincerely, by the way, and it was a hit in 55, but the first version that Chess released was in 54 on a 78.
Yeah, well, do the one you said you were going to play.
Oh, yeah, it'll be the Moon Glows. You betcha. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the record, McGuire Sisters. Oh, man. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Mark is in Aurora. What's up tonight, Mark?
Well, I wanted to reassure that previous caller that if anyone won't be dishonest with your credit card, C. Crane Company won't be. I would have no qualms about giving them a credit card number.
I agree.
And they are the two best customer service outfits that I know of, the other one being the one with my phone carrier. And I'll tell you a little story. I had to have my CC3 repaired recently, and because it was past warranty, they couldn't give me a free repair, but the tech decided that it would be best just to completely replace the radio frequency board and the processor board. Now, that is most of the radio,
right,
mind you. So he didn't replace the speaker and the power supply board and the antennas, but everything else he replaced, which means that for the price of servicing, I essentially got a brand new radio. And the thing was that when they sent it, when they returned it to me, for whatever reason, it was missing one of the external antenna screws. And so I called up and said, you know, I've looked all over the packaging and I just can't find that screw. And you know, they could easily have said, well, you know, these are the properties of the screw. You can find one at a hardware store. But no, they said, well, we'll send you a new one. And it came so carefully packed. It was in a little plastic bag of its own in a small bubble envelope. And there was that one screw. And that is how good they are about servicing whatever needs to be serviced. I can't say enough good things about that company. And the 2E and the 3, and I think there's a third one that also has the double coil ferrite rod antenna. I don't know of any other radio that has a double coil ferrite rod antenna. And boy, does it make the AM section sensitive.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good. I'm delighted to hear it.
And they use a digital form of reception on FM, which it isn't digital FM, but it's a digital mode of reception, which makes the AM that much less noisy, or the FM that much less noisy. It's just and I understand that Bob Crane personally has gone to China to check out the ICs that they're going to use
multiple times, and the factories and everything else. Yes.
Yeah, 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 it's just, oh boy, a stand-up design to the nines product.
Yeah, I agree. I just, I wouldn't promote it if I didn't believe in it. That's sort of my thing. I won't.
Yeah.
And so I stand
behind. Yeah, and even, I've noticed that the speaker is even designed to take the extra bass input. If you turn the bass control up
right,
all the way, it's not a paper cone and it's not a nylon cone. I think the material they use is a mixture of paper and nylon, but that means it's durable and flexible. And so you can pump a lot of bass out of that thing without it distorting.
Yeah, I agree. And I wholeheartedly think people should call and get a catalog if they can't go online or don't want to go online, because they'll be happy to send the catalog to you and then you can just read it all.
Yeah, but even the non-tech customer service people are pretty knowledgeable about the products and how they work.
Yes. Yes, not
just amazing people over there.
It's absolutely, customer service is their number one mandate. It's a requirement. It's just like the company I use for my VoIP phones, OneVoIP. Man, these people have the kind of customer service that I never thought could exist in the phone world. So, you know, you find them and you just, oh man, they are so good. Because I just put them through the ringer today with like 8 changes. And I said, now take your time. I've been thinking about this for a while. Like 3 hours later, okay, all done. You know, it's like, oh my God. So, and that was changing ATAs and numbers and what numbers were parked to whatever and all those kind of things. And they just sorted it out almost instantly. So,
well, it helps when they know that they're there to serve, and the people are not only knowledgeable, but they're very friendly and courteous.
Right. They get it. Yeah, exactly. And it's small companies like that that just make the difference. So I'm thrilled to promote them. Well, thank you for that. Good testimonial. I appreciate it, Mark.
Yeah, technically, I think they have a new owner now. It's not Bob Crane anymore.
No, well, Bob has retired.
A lady who knows what she's doing.
Jessica Crotty worked for him for like 19 years.
So, oh, okay.
So it's not anybody new.
Oh, that's nice to know her name.
Yeah, exactly. And she's...
How's Crotty spelled?
I think it's Crotty.
Okay.
Yeah, Jessica.
It's nice to know that she's running it on the same philosophy that they did.
Oh, 100%. And Marisol Urbana, who does the promotion and marketing and all that, she's been there as long as I can remember, and just terrific.
Oh, yeah.
So you betcha. Yeah. No, Bob wouldn't have left it in anybody's hand. I think that Jessica might have been working there something like 27 years.
Oh.
So, yeah. That's the deal with her. Anyway, I'll talk to you soon.
So she's passing down the legacy.
Yes, precisely. Precisely.
Okay.
And like I say,
good
night. Yeah, you too. See you later. All right. I think Marisol, probably going on 20 years, I'm guessing, but just terrific, terrific people. 888-876-5593. Well, we got Andrew, animals. Stacy, socializing. Fran, social media madness. Oh, man, isn't that the way. And we got a whole other hour coming up, and that's going to be James and me and stories, but room for you two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We only have about a minute left this half hour, so I figure we'll start with Andrew, and we'll take it there into the next hour. So, Andrew, are you still with us?
I very much am.
Very good. There? Good to have you.
I'll speak her now. Okay. I'm going back to my office room so I can grab my piece of paper so I can remember what I wanted to say. Oh, yeah. So, that story was pretty disturbing.
Are you with us?
Are you there?
Yes, I'm. Hello, can you hear us now? Yes.
Oh, yeah, I can. I'm going to tell you something funny but awful at the same time. But how do you cope with that kind of news? Like, for me, when you were talking about the torturing part, I was literally shouting in my 1951 Magnavox, Raleigh, cut the story. Then I just had to turn the volume down and leave the room.
Oh, no, I believe me, I understand it. Hang on, we'll talk about that next hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio. Oh, it is my turn, and I had no idea, and I haven't even picked a bumper yet, and I've got requests. Oh, it's going to be a swell hour on WGN Radio. Let's see. Oh, I know, Float On. I'll get that on next. That was a request, by the way, for Bob from Lockport. But in the meantime, we're back with Andrew, who is now on the phone. And you were saying, how do you deal with stories? You have to separate yourself from what you're talking about when you look at these stories. In other words, you have to suspend your own humanity for a moment to take a look at what's going on. And you're right. If you look at them personally, it's very easy to become very emotionally embroiled, and correct, too, given the subject matter. But you'll go crazy if you allow that to happen when you're reviewing stories.
Yeah, because, like, I wanted to see what she looked like, and I wanted to Google images, and holy shit. Except that I caught myself. If I finished a word, I'm really sorry that I did that, by the way.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear it, so let's not worry about that. So anyway, okay. Deal is
Google Images.
It's easy to want to, you know, then go hunt for yourself and see what's really going on here and all that. So I get that.
So, well, what I'm saying is that when I went on Google Images to see what she looked like, there were pictures of what she was doing, screenshots. And I just had to turn away.
Oh, I didn't know
that. I was so mad.
No, well, that, and you know, there's no need for that. There's just no need for that. But
I mean, it seems like, well, you're obviously very passionate about animals. So am I. And, you know, that's actually one of the, it's actually very common with people on the spectrum to be overly passionate
right.
about animals. Like,
right.
With, yeah, like Kubrick and Darl Hannah. You know, it's, so I've always thought that was fascinating. And I didn't know about the term non-24 sleep pattern.
Oh, yeah.
And that, I've always had that problem. And I finally looked it up in my DSM just for a hunch. And what do you know? It's in there. It's considered a disorder. And I was like, what a bunch of bull shaving cream, because of the fact that it's not really a disorder. It's just a difference.
Well, no,
you know?
I know why you're saying, but no. By the way, the reason it's in there now, you'll love this, because they have a drug for it. For years, it wasn't in there. Then they've come up with a drug. So suddenly it's like, oh, you know. So I have to laugh. I have to laugh at that. What?
Is it the just basic sleeping pills, the drug?
No. Well, it, you know, the drug, I guess, is a heavy dose of melatonin to some degree. There might be some other things in it. I'm not saying I would even consider taking it, but the point is that they didn't really put it in the manuals and consider it to be a real thing until suddenly there was there was a drug to treat it. So yeah, that's not surprising though, is it?
No, not at all. You know, that, I mean, I like, I used to have a very high appreciation, along with a fascination, of psychology. But it's like, ever since, you know, the pharmaceutical industry has been, you know, going insane, it's like there's so much, you know, in the world of psychology and psychiatry that's becoming corrupt, too. It kind of, like, bleeds into it.
Well, right. And when you talk about psychiatry, it certainly has changed over the decades in terms of how things are viewed. So it's an ongoing work in progress, and it's definitely not one size fits all. And they love to standardize things that probably should never have been standardized.
Correct. You know, when I went to Northwestern, except for my very last psychology professor, everybody hated Freud, but he loved him. And I told him, like, hey, I love Freud too. And because he mentioned that he was brand new there, it was his first time teaching, I was like, you do know that most of the psychology professors here, and he stopped him there and he said, yeah, I realized that Sigmund Freud is like a swear word around here.
Right, yeah.
In all of my psychology courses, they kept telling us the man was a total fake because of how he treated women. That's basically the bottom line, you know. But I know enough about Freud to know that he was actually very white about a lot of things.
It is popular to in fact, refute a lot of what Freud is saying, and that's not new. In fact, when you read things like Viktor Frankl, he was refuting that as well, talking about how that was then and this is now, and that's, we're talking back around, what, 48 or something? So it's been a while. You know, there's probably a certain amount of truth in all of the different theories when you're talking about psychology and psychiatry, including the rational theories that some people have come up with in terms of how to do it. But the bottom line, again, is one size doesn't fit all, and what works for one doesn't work for another.
What I was actually getting at is that, you know, I do believe, because I've sure as hell met a lot of people who fall within, you know, Freud's ideas to a T, but others don't. You know, I think that, you know, with him, it was this people who he kind of generalized, basically.
We're not going to codify and quantify those nuances. Right. There are things about human nature that are absolute through the eons. But in terms of the finer points, if you will, of personality and behavior, it's nice if you can think that it belongs in the DSM-4 or whatever, and that there's a drug for it tomorrow. But it doesn't work like that.
Yep. One more thing, okay? So remember a few weeks ago. This is actually kind of darkly humorous. And you're talking about the poor kid who was deboned.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know there was a deboning machine.
Oh, and yes. Yes.
And this is going to be so silly, Raleigh, but until I went on YouTube and saw how those machines work, in my mind, I had this fantasy that even though I know how chickens and all that, all those animals are treated are bad, but I literally had a fantasy that they are treated with grace, dignity, and as sappy and unrealistic is going to sound, a prayer or a blessing. I know that wouldn't have happened. When I saw it, like, that fantasy shattered. And I was, this is the darkly humorous part, for a week, I was more devastated over the way chickens were treated, like they were, you know, being plucked from trees like apples with no consideration for their life. You know, the fact that they are, you know, that they're looked at as totally indispensable, and these are flesh and blood beings, and they're being processed like through, you know, and for a week, that's what disturbed me.
Well,
not the kids.
Earthlings are fairly primitive when you get right down to it. In the scheme of things spiritually, we Earthlings are a very primitive society. But I'll tell you, there is a prayer said in front of every deboning machine, and that is that the worker doesn't go through it with the chicken. Talk to you later.
Bye. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Thanks.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Yes. So 888-876-5593. And they're praying in earnest for that. I guarantee it. All right. So what do we have here? I believe that Stacy is in Algonquin. So Stacy, how's it going?
Hi, Raleigh. Okay. I was just going to tell you what we had at Eastgate. I have, you know, a lot of friends that I've met.
Uh-huh.
And what's good is we have entertainment in the dining room.
Sure.
Sometimes. And Monday, it was called The Sounds of Time. And I was kind of dragging along, but I said, no, I'm going to get dressed nice and everything, and I'm going to go to the dining room, because it was like a bunch of birthdays, too. So I was glad I went, and everything was like decorated for the people's birthdays. And then they, when the table I sat at, they had birthday cake and coffee. And then they set up the front part, you know, was the stage. And it was a husband and wife singing team. And they were excellent. So we have entertainment like that. And, oh, my God, he sang everything. From Elvis to country, just fabulous. I mean, and then, you know, I think I'm probably the youngest one there. But, I mean, I think I got in the groove. And then I got everybody else in the groove, you know, and everybody's responding to the music.
Good.
So, I mean, that's nice.
Yes.
And then, you know, when you, that's how, you know, you meet, I've met a lot of people, I have a lot of friends. And then when I go, when I do go in the dining room, so I kind of know everybody, and then you sit with certain people.
Sure.
So, I mean, I don't go like for breakfast, sometimes lunch, but I'll go like for dinner. But I've met a lot of people, though. And it's nice when we have activities like that with the music, and then for the birthdays, and you get cake and coffee and everything. And, you know, you just have to, I think with me being younger, I kind of, you know, when I hear music, you know, Ronaldo and I, we danced all over the place. So I got in the groove, and then I kind of got everybody else into it.
Good. Good. A good time was had by all. Sounds terrific.
Yeah. So, and how are you feeling?
Yeah. It was a tough night, but it's a perfectly fine night tonight.
Oh, you have all of my blessings, Raleigh.
Thanks.
But, you know, tell everybody, they just kind of look at me. I was dragging along, but I still said, I'm going to go Monday, and I was sure glad about that.
Yeah, me too. No, sometimes just getting up and doing it will change everything.
And even on Saturdays, somebody brings a dog. I still haven't seen the dog yet because he comes at a certain time, but I'm going to make sure Saturday they bring Harley the dog.
All right. What kind of dog is Harley?
I'm not sure, but I think he's a big, fluffy one.
Oh, good. Well, you got to see Harley then.
I know.
Yeah.
You take care.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, big and fluffy. That's the way they should be. All right. So we'll get to Fran and Austin and then James and all those stories coming up on WGN Radio. The Moon Glows on Chess, recorded in 1954, and that's the original. Yes, sincerely. But as I say, Richard Dimples Fields had a wonderful cover of that in the 80s. I might have to play that because it is one of my faves as well. But yeah, happy to play the original Sincerely for Dave in LaSalle. All right, so we have Fran in Austin. What's up with your bad self, Fran?
Hey, but... not much going on here, just same old stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was good to hear the Moon Glows there. Yeah, yeah. Obviously the best version of that.
I think so, yes.
I agree. Anyway, this whole thing, I know that, you know, bad behavior, you know, didn't start with social media. So I'm not trying to say, you know, well, it's because of social media, this happens and that happens. But it just seems that, you know, and everybody's always wanting to be famous and, you know, that sort of thing. But it just seems like people are just doing just the most preposterous stuff just to be, you know, get a whole bunch of likes on social media.
You know, it's an interesting...
I don't know what the answer is to this, because it seems to be getting worse and worse.
And where does it end? You know, it's an interesting thing. Many years ago, when you first started to hear people say shocking things on the radio, there were a lot of discussions about it. And when I programmed, which was a long time ago, I wouldn't let people say hell and damn, and it wasn't because I was worried about hell and damn. I just insisted they be creative. And if I took those crutches away from them, they had to think of another way to enunciate. And invariably, they did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when the shock jocks, quote-unquote shock jocks, first came out, and I was asked about that, I said, well, Firstly, you got to understand that Howard Stern is not successful because he's a shock jock. Yes, there are those people who are listening for that, but the reason that he will be here long term is because his core resonates to him. They are saying, hey, guy just like me is on the radio saying the things I'm saying. So it was a relatability more than a shock. But for the guys and gals, but mostly guys who are going after shock, it's self-limiting because you can only go so far. Because when you say something shocking, well, that's shocking for a week. Then it's business as usual. So you say something more shocking, and then it's business as usual. Well, and this is what, you know, to your point of where does it end? Well, I can't, right. You know, obviously it's gotten to the point of murdering people on the street and, you know, cutting up live animals. So I don't know where it ends, but shock is always self-limiting because we are anesthetized to the shock within a period of time, which is not necessarily good, but you have to keep upping the ante. And I'm hoping, here's the Pollyanna in me, I am hoping at some point that these content creators are going to have to actually get creative and imaginative, because shock's the easy thing to do.
Yeah, but you know, and when is it going to be enough? And I mean, there's no way that YouTube didn't know that was out there.
Then, no, they actually might not have. It's hard to say, because when you realize how many millions of things they are processing, they have all their keywords, you know, like heaven forbid you say something against Trump or whatever, or name the politician you want in there. They have all sorts of filters for that. I would not be surprised that they didn't have a filter for killing the live chicken. You know, it just wasn't on their radar.
You can't have a filter for everything.
Well,
then, you know, it also gets really sticky because I completely agree with the right to free speech and freedom of expression, even if I don't agree with what you're saying.
Absolutely.
You know, it's that whole thing about, you know, I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it.
Exactly.
I truly believe that.
Right, but with rights come responsibility.
And at the same time, I'm going, they've got to stop these people.
Well, with rights come responsibilities. And there's always a line in the sand, and I don't think it's a free speech right to kill animals. You know, so I think that there are probably very definitive lines in the sand. Unfortunately, there is so much political and societal bias in all this that they are, you know, censoring things to the hell and back that probably should absolutely be out there if somebody wants to say it, and other things are getting a pass. So, common sense is not so common. But I think that, you know, it's like, you know, your rights end where mine begin. You've got all the free rights in the world until you're trampling on mine. And, you know, so that's a definitive yardstick. And I think killing animals is not not a question of freedom of speech.
No, that goes way.
Yeah, and so you know, you can get that. But sure, in terms of the political discourse or the societal discourse, I'm absolutely for freedom of speech. But remember, it's just like the old adage we got in school about, you know, freedom of speech doesn't include yelling fire in a crowded theater. Well, again, with rights come responsibilities. So hang on a minute. Don't go away. 888-876-5593. Okay. And we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and come back to it and James's stories and hopefully your calls on WGN Radio.
I love you so dearly.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, and that's Richard Dimples Fields. And like I say, 30 years after the moon glows, he came up with that, and I thought it was a great version of Sincerely. All right, so we're talking to Fran and Austin about...
That is a nice version of it. I've never heard that.
Yeah, I loved him. He was just so good with that stuff. He does a great You Send Me also.
So, anyway, we were talking about, the depravity of social media and so forth, but on to bigger and better things. The person that called about, somebody giving her trouble about not getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I agree with that. But it is hard. Night people get a bad rap.
Yes.
I mean, it's like I used to be, somebody called me in the afternoon, I would be sleeping, but I didn't want to admit it, so I pick up the phone. Hello?
Oh, jeez.
Were you sleeping? Oh, no. I wasn't sleeping. And I had a couple of friends who knew me pretty well, and somebody said, yes, you were. Why do you say you weren't sleeping when you were? And it's like, what is the problem? And people think that if people sleep in the afternoon, there's something wrong with them, or they're slothful, or lazy, or
I envy the larks in business. They're the people who, they're going to be dead on their feet at 7:30 at night, but by God, they're in the office by 6:15, and they're up and they're bright and they're all right. And you know what? Statistically, they probably do much better in the business world. I'm not one of them.
And then of course, unfortunately. I can't get my doctor's appointments always in the evening, and the stores aren't open at midnight.
Not anymore.
They are, but I can't get to them for transportation reasons.
And not anymore, but things are open a lot later than people give. Actually let on, like doctor's appointments and stuff. Well, we only have things in the morning. I said, I guess I have to find another doctor because I will not be there in the morning. And then you find out occasionally you'll have one. Well, then you can come there. It's good to know. And I find somebody else. But I just made an appointment for Friday, 7 p.m. I think that's a good time to see one. And, I was delighted to get that. So it does exist, but you have to exert yourself. And anytime I hear anybody give me crap about, well, why can't you be up in the morning? I said, let me call you when I'm wrapping up my work day. It'll be about 4:30 this morning. Give me your number.
I had a friend who used to do that all the time. She'd call me at about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. And, she's one of these people. She's always got troubles.
Right.
It's like, this is the thing I don't want to do. You wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning and listen to her troubles. So I thought, okay, I'm going to put an end to this. So I started calling her 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and she'd pick up the phone. Ah, hey, how you doing? I'd tell her, and she, I was asleep. Oh, really? Well, I want to tell you about something. Blah, 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 blah.
Right. Did it cure her eventually? Did she?
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
She quit calling. Well, finally that got cured because she quit calling me at all, but that's a whole other...
Yeah, right. Well, then, and that's perfectly fine, but I don't leave ringers on, period. I don't give anybody the chance. And I remember, God, about 40 years ago, my mother said, well, what if I died? I said, you'll still be dead when I get up. And so that was exactly...
Oh, I'm sure she loved that.
Yeah, and so she, well, I guess I can't argue with that. And I said, that's right. Whatever it is, it'll still be the same 4 hours later. Phone ringers are off. And I'm absolutely about that. But when John had his stroke, I had to leave a cell phone because I was very worried about him, obviously. And so...
Of course.
Yeah, right. Well, it was about 11 in the morning, which is prime sleep real estate for me. And it was one of the worst things about hospitals and any of the rehab hospitals and all that is they have a position, and it's like a social worker, except they're supposedly, the patient advocate or coordinator or whatever. These are the people like human resources who should be buried, just fired and buried. Buried alive is fine, actually. But anyway, one of them called and said, I need to know what you think. And I said, it's 11 in the morning and I am asleep. Well, since you're up now, I told her in the only way that I could, fornicata tua, and hung up the phone. And I thought, no. And woman calls back and said, well, you are awake and you can answer this. I said, if you ever call me again, I'm removing your liver without anesthesia. You got it?
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, and I thought to myself, I wonder where I came up with that while I was asleep. But nonetheless, that's what I told her.
That's pretty good for being half asleep.
Well, yeah, that's the first thing that crossed my mind. Exactly how I would have pulled that off, I don't know. But she didn't call back. So.
But, you know, unfortunately, you know, we don't always have, like, you know, I can't always pick and choose my doctors. I have to go to somebody in my network and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I know.
I try to explain to them, no, I'm not. And now it's cool because now my problem has a name.
Right, right.
So
yes,
now
that's
I
right.
I can say, well, I have non-24.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, I love that. Yeah. Yeah,
although most people don't know what it is even when you say that. But and then, of course, the medicine for non-24 is not covered by Medicare
or
Medicaid.
Well, and all it really is kind of like melatonin on steroids, you know. So I have a couple friends
that stuff never did a thing
right.
for me.
I have a couple of friends who tried it, and they said, don't even bother. So I said, okay, good enough. And but yeah,
a friend of mine told me that it gave her nightmares, and I already have a problem with that.
Yeah,
so
well,
I stay away from that stuff.
But right, no, for a while, doctors were
not
really...
Not that I could afford it anyway.
Well,
but.
Right. Yeah, they were really interested in me because they didn't realize you could actually have this if you were sighted. And, oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah, I've known a few sighted people in my life that, you know, that have had that. So, no, it's not just for blind people anymore.
No, right, right. And never, never go against your body clock. You know, that's why I hate with what they've done to truckers with these hours of service. They kind of legislate when you're tired and when you'll be sleeping. And no, it's a fairly natural thing. And, you know, when I had to do morning drive years ago, I just stayed up. It was a night shift for me. And then I'd go to sleep after. But I never, never could do the ones that started like at 9 in the morning. That was utterly impossible for me. You know,
I can see that. Yeah. I've had to, you know, force myself into it for jobs and things like that.
Yeah, I couldn't
And I was constantly getting in trouble for falling asleep. You know, that nothing be going on at the switchboard. Good night.
Yeah, well, no, absolutely. No, I've tried it a few times, and each time I came down with a catastrophic illness. So that's when I said, okay, I guess my body knows back. I don't want to have more lumps removed. You know, so,
The thing is, I can do it. But the problem I'm having now is that I'll just fall asleep. Like, I used to be able to, okay, I've got to get up in the morning, so I'll get up, so I know I can go back to sleep when I get home. So, you know, but I'll just sit there in the waiting room and, good night.
Right.
Or somebody be talking to me and I'm gone.
Well, good for you. Get it where you can, you know. Right, right. And
but it's embarrassing in a way because... So I try to tell people, well, no, I can't just push through it. I'll fall asleep. You'll be talking to me and I'll fall asleep. I guarantee it.
Well,
I
would say, okay, let's try it with you. I'll come over about 3 a.m. We'll start then. What do you think? Usually that ends the discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, but I, you know, it's too bad. Day sleepers get a bad rap. No, we're not all just lazy bums. We have a different sleeping schedule. Get over it.
Well, right. And, you know, especially in my case, I don't stop working till about 4:30 in the morning. Do not expect me to be up at 10 or something like that. It can't happen.
Right. So, oh,
know, no. No, but I don't care what they think. I just enforce my sleeping schedule. Sorry, that's the way it is. You know, well, you're lazy. Yes, I'm lazy. Now, let's move on. But I don't...
Hey, yeah. I'm lazy and I'm proud of it. What the heck?
Yeah, right. Exactly. What do you care what they think?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you're not up in time to play bingo, hey, bingo's boring anyway.
Well,
so.
Right. Exactly. And most places I knew played it at night anyway. You know, like 7 in the evening, like the Catholic churches and stuff that have bingo. You know, we got a couple of those around and it's always like at 7 in the evening. So she needs a different bingo class or group of people if she wants to do that. But yes. All right. Well, always wonderful to talk to you, friend.
All right. Catch you maybe tomorrow.
I hope so. Thanks. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I've almost cleaned up all the Coca-Cola from the accident a couple hours ago. And unfortunately, it didn't get on too many of James's stories. We'll be covering those next right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's the calming music for myself, actually. That's Sergio Mendez when he was very young, and Obalala, one of my faves. So, yes, did the trick, too. I feel much better already. Ron is a first-time caller. He's got requests, too. Can't wait to hear this. All right, Ron, thank you for calling WGN.
Well, let me give you my two requests first, and I'll tell you my sleeping patterns about. You've been talking about how sleep is interrupted and things, and a body clock. But I'm trying to get a hold of a fresh recording of Johnny Ray called "Cry."
Oh, that's easy.
And it's hard for me. The second one I'm interested in is a song called "Harlem Nocturne."
Oh,
it's a saxophone solo.
Right, which version? You know, this goes back long before the one you heard on Top 40. I've got them all.
No. Well, I'd like to hear the original version.
Well, I hope you don't mean the Viscounts, because most people think of the Viscounts.
No.
Okay, we'll go back to 1940 for you.
Is that far back on Harlem Nocturne?
Yes, absolutely. I'll go back to Ray Noble.
I think that's the guy that played the original.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So we're going back to 1940.
Yeah, tear your heart out with saxophone solo.
And, Ray Noble. And I'll tell you, the one that I liked the best was the one between the Viscounts and Ray Noble, the one that the Johnny Otis show did.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
But I only heard it about six or seven times. It never made it popular radio.
Oh, no, of course not. Of course not. No, but nice anyway.
Yeah.
All right, I will, Ron. I will play them both for you. Good, thanks. Now about your sleeping habits.
Well, yeah, my sleeping habits. I worked every shift you could work, 6 to 2, 2 to 10. Shift every four days.
Yeah.
12 on, 12 off.
Yeah.
And my pattern is right now I'm 85 and I'm retired. And most senior citizen guys who have worked in the mills and worked rotating shifts, and cops and firefighters, have sleeping problems. Now, my habit is I'll sleep about 4 hours. I'll be up 4 or 5 hours, and I'll be hungry for lunch at 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm retired now. I can do whatever I want. And so I'll sleep for 4 hours. Tonight's my night to listen to you, and I'll listen to the fellow that comes on after you. I like to listen to him.
Okay.
I'm not a Trump fan, but he's transcribed.
Okay.
But my sleeping patterns are such that that shift work tears people up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's statistically been proven. But if you're doing a thing where you're sleeping 4 hours, then you're up for a while and sleeping another four, that's actually very healthy. People years ago, I mean, we're talking back to like the cave days, this was a very common thing. So they say. I don't think anybody's been interviewed, but nonetheless. But I would say if that's the case, go for it. But you're right about shift work. And when they look at the incidences of serious diseases and all that, shift work is absolutely terrible on the human body.
Yeah, my favorite shift was the midnight to eight shift, starting at Sunday night at midnight and getting off at Friday morning.
There you are.
At 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was a supervisor in a production department. We didn't have any of the white shirts coming out and messing around with us. And I had a guy I worked for who had about 15 years experience, more than I did. And I worked for that man for 5 years, and I was learning the last day I was working for him. I really liked working for the man because he knew his business. He grew up in the old ways. He got the trade in an apprenticeship like I did, but he had more experience. And I worked for him. I learned a heck of a lot working for him. And he trusted me to run that shift because we'd sit down at 7 in the morning, and then we go over what I was going to do the next night.
Yeah.
And I ran the shift, and it worked pretty well for us. We were the only department in the company that was showing a profit.
Well, that's great. That's great. No, I prefer the overnight hours, too. And, if it works for you and if your body, as long as it's not, that rotating shift, if you're on it continually, you can get very used to that, and it can be very comfortable.
Well, I worked a midnight day shift, and I went to college during the morning, and then I go after breakfast, and then I go off and get some sleep.
Yeah.
Get ready to, and then get up and maybe go shopping, or maybe shop in the morning and go to school. And I had it's easier to go into a business during the day anyway.
Yes.
And then used to be in the old days, Thursday nights were the big shopping nights, and Friday nights were the big shopping nights, because those were payday nights.
Right. Right. And stores would be open later,
Yeah, they'd be open till 10 at night in the old days.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the show.
Well, great to have you. I hope you'll call me again. Now that you've
called once. I'm just trying to figure out how to record that music tomorrow night. I don't have anything that's worth recording.
Do you have an email address?
So maybe you can tell me where I can get a hold of it.
Do you have an email address?
You know, I'd send away and order it.
No, no. If you have an email
Johnny
address,
Ray's Cry. He had a couple of albums.
Well,
too.
Of course, absolutely. Little White Cloud, the crowd. Yes, that's right.
Believe it or not.
Of course, yes. And he used to play in the Detroit Flame Bar, which is
I really liked him.
Yes, me too.
You have a good day.
Okay, you too. Thanks
for talking with me.
Good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so hopefully we'll hear from Ron again, and we will play some of his maybe Little White Cloud That Cried and Cry, and of course, Walking in the Rain. That was a big Johnny Ray hit. There were a number of them. All right, God, the waning hours, and poor James has been here for hours and hours and hours, and so many wonderful stories. And how are you, James?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Okay. Well, it comes out the rather torture story of what happened to that poor pregnant teenager.
Oh, I know,
They have arrested three people.
Including the stepmother. And firstly, I want to talk about this for a minute, but then we're going to end the show. But I promise you'll be on first tomorrow if you call me early, and we'll talk about it fully. But yes, apparently they arrested for the stepmother for desecrating the body. And then apparently like a 19-year-old did the killing, and his father and stepmother moved the bodies. Now, here's what I want to know, what I didn't come up with, and I bet you did. What was the motivation of the kid who killed him?
Okay, they think at least robbery might have been a motive, because the boyfriend kept showing his money and the drug thing on social media.
Oh, God. And so do we know for sure that the boyfriend was involved with drugs?
They showed him with the drugs and a whole lot of cash.
That's interesting. A robbery would make a good motive. I had thought originally maybe it was a drug deal gone bad, but robbery makes a great motive. So tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, we will talk at length about this.
Yeah, and it's sad because really, okay, now the 19-year-old, of course, we'll talk about that later, but he's trying to play self-defense. I'm like thinking, self-defense when you got headshot?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll go over that. Thank you, and I'm so sorry, but I appreciate you waiting. All right, so we'll pick it up with James tomorrow night, and with you, too, because we have 3 hours. In the meantime, we thank Brett for keeping us on the air. Couldn't have done it without Brett. We thank John for screening your calls, likewise, and I couldn't have done it without you. Thanks for getting me through another 3 hours. We'll do it 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.